from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is The King of Ifs. And I invite you to follow the sermon outline provided for you in the handout you received when you arrived this morning. Well, does anybody know what special Sunday today is? It's a Sunday that many people overlook. It's a Sunday that doesn't get a lot of press, doesn't get a lot of attention, because you see, next Sunday begins the season of Advent, the beginning of the new church year that gets us ready for the holy season of Christmas. But today, this Sunday, is often overlooked. This is the last Sunday of the church year, but it's also traditionally called Christ the King Sunday. Today's Matthew 25 gospel lesson I just read for you spoke about the King at Judgment Day. But today I've chosen a different text that speaks about our King upon the cross. I read to you from Luke chapter 23. And they divided his garments and they cast lots. And the people stood looking at him, and even the rulers sneered at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, "If you are the King of the Jews, then save yourself." And an inscription was written over him in letters of Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, and it said, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals crucified next to him said, "If you are the Christ, then save yourself and us." Not much of a king, this Jesus. His throne room didn't exactly come with a wonderful view. His throne room was on the top of an ugly little hill on the outside of the town overlooking a smoldering garbage dump, the city of Jerusalem. His throne was a rough-hewn set of timbers fashioned into an instrument of execution in the shape of a cross. And though this king wore a crown, it was of cruel, flesh-piercing thorns thrust upon his head. This king is Jesus, the King of Ifs. The religious leaders scoffed at him, verse 35. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers who offered him sour wine mocked him, saying, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." And one of the criminals crucified next to him, who deserved his punishment, said, "Are you not the Messiah? If you are, then save yourself and us." The first "if" we encounter in this text is the one stated by the tormenting religious authorities. There was acid in their voices, searing ridicule upon their lips. These guardians of God's word had failed to read and understand and apply to their own lives the words of Scripture that promised a suffering, sin-bearing Messiah. These religious leaders made the mistake and fell into the trap of using God's word professionally, but not applying it to their own personal lives, a trap church workers can fall into today. The second "if" comes from the mocking soldiers. Now, in their defense, I ask you, how would you like to be a soldier who is given the wonderful assignment of crucifying criminals? If you're told by your superiors you're on crucifixion duty all this week, your job will be to nail nails in the hands and the feet amid screams of cry and torment. I imagine if you could defend the soldiers, you'd say, well, to buttress themselves and to protect themselves against such terrible stuff. As every day they personally saw and touched and smelled and heard the torment and the blood and pain they were causing, they would seek a way to ignore it, to run away from it. But these soldiers soon realized what we realize regarding our own pain, our own guilt, our own sin. In the words of the famous boxer Joe Louis to his hapless opponent, "You can run, but you can't hide." He is the king of ifs, this Jesus. And this is indeed what we're compelled to remember on this Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year, the last Sunday before the season of Advent and the onset of the Christmas season. The King is adventing. He is coming. And He is the King of ifs. If you have any doubt about that, doubt it no more. If you have any question about you deserving His love and forgiveness, question it no more. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But that's not what God demands of us. We cannot earn His mercy and forgiveness. He only seeks our humble trust. Jesus, the King of ifs, takes all of the ifs out of our lives and makes it a sure and certain thing, as He did for that other criminal who hung by His side. Speaking of this other criminal, now listen to some of the most precious words in all of Holy Scripture. This man said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Hanging upon His cross, His own deserved cross, this man saw Jesus as the King of ifs, like nobody else that Friday did. It's implied, if not worded as such in the text, that this man thought, "Jesus, if you are the righteous one, and I know that I'm not righteous, Jesus, you can save me. You can love me. You can forgive me. You won't forget me, the man you hung beside." And in response to this weak, desperate, if only cry of faith, our Lord Jesus speaks the clearest, the purest, the most welcome words of all of Holy Scripture. Listen to what He says to this criminal. Jesus said this next sentence, which contains in it not a hint of if and or but. Jesus said to this criminal, pleading for mercy, these words, "Truly I say to you, today, you'll be with me in paradise." This single verse of Scripture has to be one of my favorite of all of Holy Scripture. The King did not say to that sinner, the King does not say to us sinners, one and all, these things. Jesus does not say, "I'll remember you if you repent of every single one of your law-breaking offenses one by one. I'll remember you if you're in worship every Sunday Bible class twice a week and give 20% of your income in that offering plate. I'll remember you if you have your emotional life, your family life, your work life all together with no flaws or no failures. I'll remember you if You are the most holy living, hardworking, got your life together person on the face of this earth. If you do those things, then I'll remember you. Jesus never said that. No, this Jesus, the King of ifs, with one sweet sentence, don't you want to hear him say that sentence to you? Jesus, the King of if, with his dying breath, after the dying request from this dear thief, Jesus puts an end to all ifs and in one sweet sentence basically says to that man, I've got you covered. Got you covered with my blood shed upon that cross. My blood shed for your sins, for the sins of the world. You are forgiven. My friend, you will be remembered. You'll be with me today in paradise. Jesus assured this dying criminal that he would be with him today in paradise. And paradise is not just another word for heaven. The idea of paradise implies a close relationship that has with it a special honor. The original idea of paradise is of a private but lavish garden behind an enclosed wall. A place where the king would take a walk and a stroll with only his closest friends, only his dearest friends. And they would receive from this king special gifts he would save just for them. Such people were given a new title in the ancient world. They were called a companion of the garden. Freely, unconditionally, Jesus gave this dying but believing criminal at the very hour of his death a blood-bought promise. He would be remembered. He would be forgiven. He would be eternally a companion of the King in paradise. My friends, this is the moment to ask yourselves, dear Lord, what are you speaking to my heart today in this message? Here's my question to you. What are the ifs in your life? If I could just be smarter. If I could just not doubt. If I could just have a deeper faith. If I could just perform better as a student, a son, a daughter, a spouse, a grandparent, you fill in the blank. If I could just somehow turn back the clock and erase the terrible mistakes I've made in my past. If. But boy, do I have good word for you today. The scoffing ifs of the religious leaders did not end Jesus' love for them. The mocking ifs of the soldiers did not end Jesus' love for them. The weak, desperate, if only cry of faith of the pleading criminal did not put Jesus off or end his love for them. Nowhere in this text do we read that Jesus the King condemned any of them. In fact, before any of the ifs had been spoken in our text, we hear Jesus saying in verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus gives to each of us today the same absolution, the same forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. by the power of His shed blood, I declare to you who look to Him in humble faith, you are forgiven. Forgiven. You will be with Him in paradise. My friends, whatever ifs you have in your life, Jesus, the King of ifs, has mastered them. From the throne of the cross, the King has spoken. And you know what? The word if is not even in His vocabulary. Thanks be to God in the name of Jesus, our King of ifs. Amen. We now worship our Lord with His offering.